The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 120. Fear Case number one from Dark Horse Comics. And that's actually a big deal this week because, John, we did five books. And
we did.
Fear
we
Case read, made it our number one.
We read quite a bit this week.
Yeah. And we,
I had
we're
to
not
make up
big
for last week. Yeah, I had to make
there
up for
go.
Being off last week.
Well, it was perfect. You were off last week. There were like zero number ones.
Right.
And they all came out this week.
I knew that. That's why I took that week. I planned that week.
Right. Yeah. You're making your appointments and you said, hey, when are we getting no indie books?
All I pulled
right,
up
cool.
the diamond schedule when I was in the doctor's office to see when I could do this safely. So.
Exactly. Always thinking about the show, John. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Big show we got here. We got a lot in and we did it in a timely manner, even though you look at the timestamp and it's well over 2 hours, but we did pretty good. We got a lot of information in there. Plenty of WandaVision, a lot of Kryptonite Key Club this week.
We did. Yeah.
A lot to talk about.
A lot of news. It was jam packed. We supersized this episode.
You supersized it, huh?
Yeah, we did.
What was your favorite part, John? All right, with that, let's get into the
story. I'm doing my Dr. Joe doing John impression.
We've got impressions doing impressions.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in, Dr. Joe doing John. John doing Dr. Joe doing John. So,
I tell you, John.
If you can wrap your head around that, then you're in better shape than me.
Joe was listening to last week's and he said, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
He goes, did you tell him to do that? I go, no, he did that all by himself. So, all right, let's get into the story.
All right.
Hey, John, we're back together again. How you feeling?
We are. I feel great, man.
You feel great? You enjoy your vacation? Yeah.
I did, man. I can't tell you how much fun I had all last week.
Oh, did Dr. Joe and I...
Spilling off into this week as well.
Yeah. Did Dr. Joe and I at least give you a few hours of entertainment?
You did, like 2 hours and 40 minutes worth.
Was it that long?
It was pretty long.
It went by. It flew by. He did a great job.
Pretty long. Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah, good show. A lot of good stuff.
Nothing you didn't
know. We got a supersized show this week as well. So,
yeah, this is. I mean, we'll see. I
came back. I brought the goods.
Yeah,
man.
You
like,
did.
I didn't come back empty-handed.
No. Well, to be fair, you weren't empty-handed last week either. A lot of the show was me saying, John and I said this. John and I said
that's
that.
True. That's true.
We had a pretty good off-air show last week.
I felt my presence.
Yeah. We've got a big. Big show to this. I mean, just looking at all, we call it a show. I don't know why we're not showing any. It's just us.
No.
But yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to. So I don't know. We're gonna try to go through it fast, but you know us.
Yeah.
Because we got five books this week in checkout.
We do.
You read four. I read four. We have three crossover books and one each. Which is unusual. Obviously, yeah. WandaVision, big topic of discussion in a million different. Ways, not just the show, but other, what do you call them, rumors and other things. And are you paying attention to any of that? Just before, I mean, we won't have to get into it now, but.
Some of it.
Okay.
I mean, some of it. Yeah, I've heard some of the theories and, some of the chatter online.
The rumors and leaks
I'm sure we'll get to all of that one.
Oh, yeah.
When we get to.
All right. All right.
To that part of the show.
So everything's good with you then? We're good at least for another month before you need another vacation or something? Because you had the week off at Christmas, and now you've taken another week to go to the amusement park.
I know. I've been slacking. I took 2 years. In 2 years, I've taken 2 weeks off. 3 weeks,
Three weeks now, actually. Yeah.
So, yeah, 3 weeks in 2 years.
Two medical.
So I don't know. I don't know what the hell I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And two of them were medical, so.
Oh, actually, so that's 4 weeks, because you took last Christmas off, too. So yeah. You've had a month off, John. Two plus years, you've had a whole month off. Wow.
Damn slacker.
How's your 401k here?
Yeah, I was going to say, one might think I got paid to do this.
One might be wrong.
It wasn't paid time off, because I'm not paid for time on. So,
oh, yeah. Well, those checks will start rolling in soon.
Yeah, yeah, one of these days.
Zero is a number.
You're right.
Just ask my bank account. Yep. All right, let's not get into this news because, you know, I mean, what are we going to do? Just sit here and chat all day? We got plenty to get to. What do you want to start off with?
HBO Max, I guess. It's more details around the Snyder Cut, which is looming ever closer.
Yeah.
Looks like it just officially got an R rating, which is a little surprising, but...
not really.
Not, I guess, not really unexpected.
Isn't the extended cut of like BVS R rated as well, or something like that? One of them, I think, is.
I don't know.
Like
is
that,
it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not unrated sure. or sure. something. It's
unrated.
Yeah,
maybe unrated. And we have our official premiere date.
Yep.
3/18. So.
Which is a Thursday, I believe, right?
I maybe even a Wednesday. I don't know. It's a weird day of the week, though. It's not Friday, which is when you would think all
right.
of these things usually premiere.
Yeah, the 18th
yeah,
is
the
a Thursday.
Week, yeah, okay.
Which, when it was announced, awesome, I tweeted out, perfect. A day after St. Patrick's Day, call in sick, yeah. watch a four-hour yeah. movie.
Yeah, I'm usually off on Thursdays.
There you so go. Well, work. They've been planning everything around Brightside, so they've been listening.
That's just true. That's true.
The thing we talked about earlier this week that we noticed on some of the reports, Variety being one of them, I think that's the one that I sent you. There's rumors or reports, I should not even rumors. There's reports that it's coming out in two versions. You can either watch the 4 hour or the four part. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Yeah. Honestly, I don't even understand it because. Like, if they drop it in four equal parts, is it still all dropping on the same day?
Right.
Or
like,
is it
a la
going
Cobra
to be
Kai
like
or
4 weeks?
Any of the
yeah,
Netflixes.
Like, because if that's the case, I mean, if I want to watch it in 1 hour increments, I can do that already. Like, I can just take the whole. Like, when you have an apple pie, you can have the whole or you can cut it up into equal parts. So, I mean, I could do the same thing with this if I wanted to. So, why they need. Like, when I go to the store to buy my apple pie, it's not pre-cut for me. You know, like, they don't have to give me that.
But yet, one of the greatest inventions options, is when they pre-cut the bread. So,
true. It is the greatest thing since sliced bread. sliced bread. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand that at all.
Is,
like, I don't even know who
yeah.
who that's for. Like, what audience is that for?
Right.
Like, it's for the guy that wants to watch it in four equal parts, but can't, like, doesn't have a watch, I guess, and, like, can't figure out when the 1 hour
mark is. Now, I know
is.
I'm going to screw this up. I'm either going to say the right word or talk about, you know, having relations with dead people, but... narcolepsy?
Necrophilia?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh,
necrophilia is
yeah.
the bad one. Okay, narcolepsy.
Yeah, narcolepsy.
Like,
right?
This is for the narcoleptic? Like, oh, I dozed off. All right, luckily it's already yeah. divided out for me. But...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't seen... Honestly, the only place I've seen that at all is from the message you sent me. I haven't actually seen that anywhere else.
But that's the thing
but
is...
admittedly, I was off of social media
right.
for a couple of days, so I don't know. But I, like I said, I, you know, we talked very briefly when you messaged me with that, and I don't understand it
right.
really at all.
Well, that's why I sent it to you, because I'm like, I don't get this, but I thought it would be interesting to talk about, because that's yeah. that thing, like, is it going to be 4 hours? Is it like, because Snyder's saying it's a 4 hour movie, but then you're
right.
getting reports like this, HBO Max and Warner Brothers said they're putting it out in four parts. Is it possible they do both? But, you know, like, for all intents and purposes, why do they divide Cobra Kai out? Or any of those, right. you know, any of those series, why do they divide it out and not just put it out in a movie? My guess right. is it's more for marketing so that they could then sell it to a state, you know, a TV state. They're meant to be TV shows. But
right.
This is a
but
movie.
But the difference is, right, the difference is they don't package it both ways.
Right.
Like, Netflix didn't give you the option to have Cobra Kai as 1 5-hour movie.
Right.
You know.
We just did it that way.
Right. Right. We did it that way, but they choose, and you digest it how you choose to digest it. But to put it out in two separate formats at the same time,
right.
It doesn't, I don't, like I said, I just don't understand it.
That's why I'm wondering if, I don't know, I'm still unsure if it's actually going to come out 4 hours at first. Maybe they do the four part, and then on the wet last week, they do the 4 hour one as well.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a confirmation either way. It's everything
no,
has been
either.
Reports, you know, so.
Right. Although, again, the one about it coming in 1 4-hour chunk came directly from Snyder.
Right.
Who seems to be the one that would know.
You'd think.
But once again, once it gets to the corporate entities, they can do whatever they want. So.
Right.
Maybe he thinks it's coming one way. And
well, that's the thing. This sounds to me like it's an argument. Between right. him and the studio saying, nope, it's a 4 hour. And they're saying, nope, it's a four parter. It's like, right. So I guess on the.
But see, either way, if I'm HBO Max, well, I guess here's the thing. The date when it's coming out, the 18th of the month, kind of makes it seem like they would want it to come out in 4 weeks, right? Because then you have to have a subscription for March and for April.
Well,
whereas
yeah.
if it comes all out in 1 month, you only in one shot, you only have to have that subscription for March. So, like, if they're kind of looking to gain subscribers and keep them,
right,
spreading it out over two separate billing periods would be the way to go. But I don't know that that's what they're doing.
I don't know.
Like, you know. And I don't even know. Like, would you have to pay from,
no,
you know, March and April? Or if you sign up on the 18th, you just go from the 18th to the 18th.
Exactly.
I don't know. So,
who's doing that?
I've never done it that way.
I don't think
way,
anybody's
so
doing
I,
that
I,
just for the Snyder cut, to be honest with you. I don't think,
well,
like
yeah.
just picking
I,
it up
I think
and
a
dropping
lot of people,
it.
Well, maybe. But people will pick it up
yeah.
because of the Snyder cut. Whether they stick around or not is going to depend on, you know, I guess how good it is and their experience once they get there.
Right.
You know, but. As we'll talk about in a minute, there's a couple of other things happening in March to keep people around.
Absolutely.
So
let's get there.
Yeah, so we'll stick with I'll skip around a bit and try to keep all the HBO Max news
look
together.
Look at you.
So the next thing that happens in March is Godzilla vs. Kong debuts on March 31st.
Yep.
On HBO Max. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to that. You know, I like big monster fight movies.
Yeah.
So that should be a lot of fun.
Did you hear me ask Dr. Joe about that last week? Kind of fell flat. He's not a big monster guy.
Yeah, well, talking about the size of Kong.
Yeah. And thing, the size
yeah,
of Godzilla.
Well, right. Now, admittedly, Kong has grown exponentially more than Godzilla.
Oh, I don't know.
Like in the old Godzilla movies, Godzilla was walking through like Tokyo and he was pretty much as tall as the tallest skyscrapers, right? But in the original Kong movie, he was like an ape.
Right.
When he climbed to the top of the Empire State Building, like it was a climb and, you know, he was batting at planes, but like he wasn't, you know, towering over them. But now Kong in this universe, like, he's as big as Godzilla.
Right.
So, now, again, to kind of go back to what you were saying, like, when you're talking about giant lizards and giant monkeys, his size is not the thing to fixate on, specifically. But, and, you know, if you're going to have the two of them fight each other, you can't have King Kong, like, only come up to Godzilla's shins. You know what I mean? Like, that's not much of, that's like the little chihuahua that chases around yapping at you when you're walking.
Right.
But nothing really is going to happen.
Yeah.
So it will be a kind of short movie. But I have seen a lot of the people online.
It's hysterical.
Like, really kind of fixating on that. And, it's
hysterical. I'm surprised nobody's fixated on their battles. on top of a aircraft carrier. Isn't yeah. that like you and I, like, getting into a boxing match in a canoe?
Like, right.
What, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a very big place.
Not
for
very
them.
Secure.
Yeah.
But, hey, I can't wait. Honestly.
And usually that's me. Like, that's my role.
I know.
Usually.
And even
like,
you're
I'm
on
the one
board.
That would be. Yeah, because even in this case, I'm like, you know, it's a giant monkey and a giant lizard. Like,
right.
If I can go with that, I can go with the side. Like, you know.
Exactly.
That doesn't bother me, you know.
So, see, you are saying then that size doesn't matter.
I mean, I've heard it my entire life, so I mean, I have to start believing it at 51. So
I also just throw in that towel.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, I'm 51. I'm more than halfway through my life, so I guess now's the better time than any.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah.
All right. I'm glad you did see that Godzilla from 2014 is finally getting its 4K restoration. That's coming out on.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't see that? Oh, yeah. That
no,
big
I didn't.
News. That was huge news.
I actually enjoyed that movie, too.
Yeah, I just reviewed it last week. Was it last week?
That was the one with Millie Bobby Brown, right?
No.
Bryan Cranston?
No, she's in this one coming up.
Oh, but she was in the other one, too, I thought. No, Bryan Cranston was in
Cranston
the other one.
Bryan Cranston and what's
that's
her
right.
name,
she's
too.
In the new one.
Wanda? What's her name?
Oh, yeah,
she
yeah.
She was in it?
Elizabeth Olsen. Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen and the same guy that played her brother in the MCU.
Yeah, Kick-Ass. I can't think of his name, but...
Yeah, but he was played, in it, too.
He played,
he's yeah, the he main played character.
Kick-Ass, too. Yeah.
He's the main character that runs around. Bryan Cranston's son. His name in the movie was Ford. I can't remember his name off the, his right. real name off the top
but
of
yeah,
my head.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I also really liked Kong of Skull Island. So
yeah.
I'm really kind of looking forward to this because.
Yeah, I mean, King of the Monsters was great. I'm going to be doing all of them all the way up to, for the home theater one, all the way up to Godzilla vs. Kong.
Cool.
Godzilla. What do you think happens? Hey, what? We're here. Why not? What do you think happens? I don't think they. I think they have a little tumble and then they fight Mecha.
I think ultimately, yeah, they'll team up.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be one of those like superhero team up comics
yeah.
where you know, like Spider-Man and Superman, you know, like they have to fight for 10 pages and then they get together.
Yeah, like BVS actually.
Right, have to fight the bad guy. So I think that's what's going to happen. So,
yeah, do you
because you know in the last Godzilla movie, you know, it was determined that Godzilla was here to bring balance, right? Like he's not here to cause any harm.
No.
To anything.
He's a good guy.
He's the good guy. And Kong too, you know, he's just misunderstood. Like he just wants to be,
yep.
you know, and
yep.
you know, just a misunderstood monkey, really.
Right. He wants to go back to his island, eat his giant bananas.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, he just wants to live.
Exactly.
You know? Wants to run naked on the beach and you know.
No, now we're talking about you.
Well, true. True, but...
You are like, you are kind of hairy.
I like to run naked on the beach and eat giant bananas, too, so...
All right, moving on.
All right, so...
Sticking with HBO?
Titans, yeah, Titans Season 3
yep.
has cast its Tim Drake.
Yep.
Actor called named Jay Lycurgo, who I've never seen
Me neither. I didn't recognize the name at all.
But, you know, he looks like Tim Drake.
There you go.
I guess, like, he's going to be Tim. So, just the fact that we're getting Tim Drake is, like, Batman's, like, 97 years old. But he's like, just recruiting Robins like there's no tomorrow. Because
Well, he's not recruiting them. I think they're just popping in from the past. That's the point.
I guess.
You know?
Well, I don't know. Because, like, the current Robin, which is Jason Todd, is turning into Red Hood. And that leaves a vacancy, right? Like so.
True, very true.
You know, Bruce.
Yeah, you're right.
Bruce has
you're
to go
right.
in.
I'd forgotten.
Bruce has to go out and get Tim. So, which leads one to believe that old man Batman is still out there on the streets fighting crime, because
yeah, he's
you don't need
old.
A sidekick if you're not out there kicking. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have to see.
And still no idea when that's coming.
No.
None.
No
they're
idea.
Still casting.
Like, again, they're still, at this point, they're still casting.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's too bad.
We're a ways away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really kind of thinking October,
you
November.
Even think this year?
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
Look at you being optimistic.
I know, right?
Well, time off has done you well.
What could I say? Recharged. I'm cleansed.
That's not how you wanted to plug in and recharge.
I had a cleanse last
week.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah, you did.
cleansed all my demons.
Oh.
And then last HBO Max, this is a rumor, that HBO Max is developing an animated Game of Thrones series. So that's interesting.
Yes, it is.
No idea what timeline it follows.
I heard
like
it was
if it's
a prequel.
An animated. Okay, but so is the Targaryens.
Yeah, but this is a little bit close, like 90 years previous.
So closer to the Targaryens. Because yep. I think the Targaryens is like 300 or 400
yeah,
years or
exactly.
something. So this is like maybe 100 years in or 100 years from what we had.
That's what
so,
I had heard.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's been proven that you can do adult animation and, you know, have compelling stories and all that stuff. So, I love the Game of Thrones world. Say what you want about the end of that show. I mean, a lot of people have very strong opinions, but by and large, for 7.5 years, that was the best show on TV, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm all about getting more of that. Again, I didn't see whether there was any word of like George R.R. Martin being involved or anything like that. So hopefully he's got his hands full trying to get that last book finished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jen and I are still going back through Game of Thrones again, but it's.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind the last seasons of Game of Thrones, and especially now going back through and you start to remember, like watching it a second time the way we are. It's so much more fun. Just, I've said it to you before, because you know what each character's destiny is. So
right,
you're
right. You know where they end up.
Right. So you don't mind Joffrey as much.
Right.
You know, it doesn't bother you because you're like, aha.
I knew when I watched it the first time around because I had read all the books.
Right.
The only surprises to me came really halfway through season 7 and season 8 because there was no more books.
Right. You know? And it seems to me that's where it fell off with the fans because it didn't go the way people wanted it to. But it's not, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so you didn't know what the roadmap was and people found it disappointing, whereas I didn't find it disappointing, but I never had a roadmap. So
right,
it's always comes down to that though, expectations.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean that I had my issues with season 8 of Game of Thrones, just like everybody else. But this isn't really the time to go into that.
well, they're going backwards.
It doesn't diminish my appreciation for the show as a whole,
right.
though. You know, because again, for 7 years, it gave me like. Ample entertainment.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was really the best thing on for a lot of those years. You know, every week it was must-see viewing. Like, I watched very few things day and date. You
right.
know what I mean? But I sat down every Sunday night at 8 o'clock to watch Game of Thrones. I never missed it. So.
We were very
like
late.
I can't say that about very many things. So. WandaVision and The Mandalorian are really the next two things that I can think of
right.
that have been like that. And even that, there was a couple times where I wasn't able to watch them because, you know, Lydia was out or
right.
things like that. But yeah, there's that.
There's that.
I think that's
I have
yeah,
one
that
more.
Is the end of the HBO Max news from me.
I have one more.
Yeah.
Nielsen, did you see this? Nielsen dubbed Wonder Woman 1984 the winner of Christmas week. Christmas week viewership by a landslide. And
yeah, but what was it going? What was it up against?
Everything. All of the actually, what was the other one that it was up against? Let me look. Now you're making me pull up the article. Please hold.
I mean, I ran a race by myself around the neighborhood.
No. Winner
and
of
I was
Christmas
declared
week
the winner.
Viewership. This is Nielsen. Usually they don't include them. Nielsen made
right,
it one
time. There was nothing else to watch. Like, of course
it
was going to be
the
winner.
No, it was Disney's Soul, Pixar's Soul on Disney Plus in the number one spot was supposed to be there. But I don't know why HBO Max wasn't going to be included. It says Nielsen made a one-time exception to include HBO Max in its SVOD measurement service at the bidding of the streamer. Nielsen previously released its list of top streamed content for the week of Christmas, with Pixar's Soul on Disney Plus in the number one spot with 1,669 million minutes of viewing time. So that's like that's 1.6 billion minutes. Right. But yeah, that's all of streaming. Okay. And this was on Cord Cutters News. I saw it. Right. HBO, but here's what I thought it was interesting is like, why did they have to allow HBO Max in?
Yeah, I don't understand.
That doesn't make sense to me. Is it because HBO isn't, HBO has its own service and not, I don't know. That's weird. And I didn't see in the article, as Nielsen's streaming charts are relatively new, the ratings only include data on Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Hulu, and Netflix. However, Nielsen plans to continue adding other platforms soon, including HBO Max.
Maybe they
Max
were just too
Peacock.
New to have the. Yeah. Maybe they're just too
apparently.
New. Yeah, that they just weren't part of their process at that point. But HBO Max said, hey, you know,
right.
over here, you know, we're here and we had Wonder Woman, so.
It kind of makes Nielsen's streaming charts unreliable if you're not including.
Well, it does.
You know, you're like, oh, if. If HBO Max had to say, what about Wonder Woman 1984? Because if Nielsen puts this out and this report doesn't come out, if Nielsen puts out their ranking and Soul was number one, everybody goes, oh, yeah, see, Wonder Woman really stunk. Soul beat it. When actually Nielsen didn't include it. Right. That doesn't make, you know, that's not fair to either side, really. You know, that's making, I didn't understand it, but now actually, That makes more sense. I just found that part, the streaming charts. But
yeah, because I think at this point, you know, they may not be looking at, like, Peacock
not
or
yet, right.
some of these things yet. So maybe they just need to bring them on board. But it's not like HBO Max debuted in December.
Exactly.
You know, it's 6 months old at this point. So, and again, it's not, no offense to Peacock, but it's not Peacock. It's
right.
Warner Brothers. It's like it's HBO, you know. They're not... like Bob.
I'd be interested
service.
To see how long it took them to get Disney Plus included in their rating.
Yeah, because Disney Plus is only a year old at this point,
right?
So
exactly. I didn't like that. It didn't make sense. So especially considering Wonder Woman was pretty big news for a while, you would have thought that Nielsen would have been on the ball ahead of time, being like, "All right, we should include them before January."
Right,
but. But that was it. That was my last HBO.
Cool.
So what's up next?
All right. So I have another rumor.
Rumors.
Reportedly, George Clooney is attached to produce and possibly star in the upcoming Buck Rogers series.
When I saw this, and it was your notes that I saw it, I was like,
yeah,
he is Buck Rogers.
I know, right? That's what I said, too.
I was like,
I'm like,
are you kidding
that's
me?
That's perfect. Like, I would think you would go a little younger for Buck Rogers, but...
Come on, George can pull off
back and,
young.
Well, and then if you go back and you think about the character,
right.
like, he was a seasoned astronaut, or, you know, so he wouldn't necessarily be, like, 20 years old, you know?
Right.
He'd probably be, I don't know if he'd be 55 or 60, but...
but George looks good.
But George is George,
George
right?
is like, good. Oh, I love George Clooney. He's hysterical.
I do, too.
And I think he would be great as Buck Rogers because, from what I remember, he even had... It's like, I feel like that's the role George Clooney was born to play.
Yeah.
It's like, I just felt, like, as soon as I read it, I was like, are you kidding me? That's perfect.
Yeah, so I hope this turns out to be true. I think it's very likely that he's attached to produce it.
Right.
Because that makes a lot of sense. He's got his own production company and all of that. Whether he stars in it or not, that's a little bit more,
right.
I think, more the rumor part. And again, we assume starring means he stars as Buck. But he could be...
Twiggy?
Like Dr. Theopolis or something. Like he could be somebody else in the show. But I would love to see him play Buck Rogers. Yeah, I think that would be great.
George Clooney and his Flo-bee.
Yeah, right? Flowbee has never sold more units than they did 6 months ago or 3 months ago, whenever it was. In the entire time they've been in existence, they've never sold more units than this year.
You can't go anywhere to get your hair cut? Do what George Clooney does.
Those are guys. Like, I saw a meme today that I thought was really funny. It was like a boardroom setting, and it said GameStop sitting next to Tesla and Amazon after this week's stock market or whatever. And it was like two guys and then Big Bird sitting in the middle. And I was like, that's awesome.
Oh, man.
I don't know why that – I don't know where I was going with that, because I kind of forgot what we were just talking about. But
that was good. That was good.
But, yeah, I thought that was great.
That was really good. Hey, we broke that news last week on Brightside.
I saw that, yeah. You kind of had your facts a little wrong.
I said that. I'm not sure was like, that stuff.
I was, like, yelling at you as
what
I was listening to it in the
car. What did I say?
Well, it wasn't – it was it all started from Reddit users in the kind of Wall Street subreddit. So it wasn't necessarily fans that had anything to do with this at all. It was
It was Reddit, and I said people on social media, which is Reddit, and it's like
they are investors that were that set out specifically to short the hedge fund users and things like that. Like, I'm not super well versed in it either, but I had actually just read a long article about it.
Right.
Like, right before I was listening to you guys talk about it. And I was like, well, that's not exactly what it was.
I had literally just seen it on the news, which is like, I think Dr. Joe and I talked about it longer than what I saw on the news. So I wasn't sure how it worked, but I just thought it was crazy. I got the names right.
But GameStop. Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. But apparently this one Reddit user who kind of started this whole thing bought, like, I don't know, $5,000 worth of shares when they were, like, 56 cents a share.
Right.
So, like, I don't know the math, but that's a lot of shares. And now they're trading at, like, $300 a share. So he's, like, a millionaire several times over at this point. If he's able to cash in and liquidate these stocks, which is now becoming the issue where, you know, I don't know if the government's good. Like, I don't know.
I've seen and heard all of the details of the reports on that, but I know less did before, so
because now it's confusing. Now the government's stepping in and it's becoming a thing,
right?
You know, at the end of the day, they didn't do anything wrong. Like, it's not illegal to buy stocks, and nobody can force you to sell them. So, like, they haven't broken any laws,
right?
So, but yeah, anyway,
and that's your Brightside Financial Minute.
Yeah, I was gonna say your Brightside Financial Podcast.
Two idiots that are broke.
Right. two broke dudes. I think that was a sitcom. All right. And I have one more piece of news. This comes from Netflix. Netflix, in partnership with Legendary, has announced two animated series, one based on Lara Croft and Tomb Raider, and the other one based on Kong Skull Island. So, again, no timeline necessarily on when we're going to see these things, but I like the Netflix animated stuff. I really like Castlevania and some of the other stuff they've done. So, you know, again,
that'll be cool.
More stuff, more content, more stuff to keep looking forward to. So,
yeah. Oh, you have another one here.
Did I miss it? Oh, one more. Yeah, I missed it. From Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler, who was the director of Black Panther 1 and 2, is developing a Wakanda series for Disney Plus. So,
very interesting.
Again, yeah, very interesting to see where that goes.
Now, I'm guessing that comes after Black Panther 2?
I would think so, because that seems to be further along in development at this point.
Right.
Where this is more in the, you know, he has inked an overall deal, I guess, with Disney and to do other things. And this is going to be part of it. So, I think this comes a little bit further down the road.
I think this, you know, this actually came out with the reports of his deal, and that his deal included a series for like a Wakanda based series. So that should be a lot of, I mean, I think all of these movies, the way Disney, didn't Feige say that the streaming like is really going to propel this. Every movie is going to have its own series counterpart.
Their primary focus going forward, they said, was Disney Plus, was the streamer. They are going to continue to put out 2 to 3 movies a year, but they really are looking to make Disney Plus the place to get a lot of this stuff. Like, at this point, I think it's going to be the shows on Disney Plus that force you to go to the movies and not the other way around.
Right.
You know, and, at some point. And, like, what we're getting right now is kind of the opposite, because they're playing with things we've already seen in the movies. But as they develop new shows, like, let's say the Moon Knight show or the She-Hulk show, which are not really tied to any MCU properties, that might propel you into a Moon Knight movie or something like that.
Right.
Later on down the line. And I think that's what their ultimate goal is going to be.
See, what I think will be interesting, and what could be the savior for the theaters themselves, is if COVID had never happened, I'm wondering if this is what they had envisioned for the scenario, is that it used to be you went to the movies and then you would go and be like, all right, I'll catch like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if I want to. But it's not really a big deal.
Right.
And now I think from what Feige's saying, it's going to be the reverse. You're going to watch these series and then you're going to go to the movies for this one event and then come back to your series. But here's where I think it's going to be fun for the theaters. I think they're going to release a series, like say a WandaVision, right? Then a movie would come out. Obviously, this isn't a scenario playing right now. Then a movie comes out, but that movie won't come out onto Disney Plus for a few months. Right. But another streaming series will come out in the meantime, and you're going to want to have seen all of them.
Right.
So that's going to make people, if you want to keep up with your series, you're going to want to know what happened in the theater. And that's going to drive people to the theaters.
Well, like, for instance, if you're not watching WandaVision and you don't intend to ever watch it because you don't have Disney Plus, I think you're severely handicapped next year when you walk into the theater to watch Doctor Strange 2.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not that you couldn't do it, because I'm sure they're going to take that into account and make it somewhat friendly for everybody, but you are going to have missed a lot if you don't watch this show on Disney Plus. So...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. I think a lot of this is going to drive people to... You're going to have to see it in the theater to keep up, because I think they're going to stagger these in a certain way. And like I said, if COVID hadn't done, you know, put everything back, they would be on track. So who knows where it's going to go and if they'll be able to get on track again. But it feels like that's what would be in the best interest of everybody involved. You know, it propels... You know, Disney Plus, it propels the theaters, it helps everybody, and it's just a blast for us.
Yep.
And last one I got is Mandalorian Golden Globe nomination. Pretty cool.
I saw that.
Yep.
Saw that.
Favreau says, "We are incredibly fortunate to work with such a singular team of collaborators and artists that bring this show to life. On behalf of Kathy, Dave, and the entire Mandalorian team, thank you for this honor." That's pretty cool. Yep. Pretty cool. Star Wars series on Disney Plus is getting, you know, Golden Globe recognition. So
yeah, I mean, it's great. I think it's a great show. The other show, not necessarily in our wheelhouse, but we both watched it and talked about it, that got nominated for a ton of stuff was The Flight Attendant. That got a whole bunch of Golden Globe nominations.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, because that was I really liked that.
That's a great show. It's such a well done show, but never mind that. Just the concept of it, I thought was, I mean, you and I talked about it for a while, every week actually. And we had it's just a very interesting concept, and she's doing really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
Really good.
But yeah, I follow her on Instagram and she was posting all kinds of nominations that they were getting. So.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. Cool. All right. Is that it then?
I think so.
All right, we cooked through that, kind of. All right.
In 45 minutes.
Yeah. All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
Amazing Spider-Man 55 had a really cool second printing that came out today. You know, that the original printing of 55 was a really hot cover that sold really on the back of the cover alone, you know?
Yeah.
That cool black and white web cover. Today we got the red and black web cover. You know, sold a ton of copies of this. But, you know, retailers were able to order as much of this as they wanted. So there's not necessarily a shortage of these out there. They're selling very well, but really at cover price. The one that's really in demand is the 1-in-50 variant to the second printing.
Yeah.
And that one's selling for pretty strongly at $115.
Wow.
So definitely one to grab if you can.
Oh, let me interrupt you for a second. How did I do last week?
When you did good.
When I did your Speculator's Corner and Back Issue Bonus and FOC.
Yeah, I think you did.
You make
good.
It look easy.
Mean, you read exactly what I wrote.
Exactly.
No complaints.
All right, good. I didn't know if you were swearing at your radio then, too.
No, just the GameStop stuff.
The stuff I admittedly knew nothing about.
I know. Well, that's where the fun is. All right. Next is King in Black, Gwenom versus Carnage, issue number 2. The 1-in-10 variant here is seeing a lot of extra interest for some reason, selling for about $35, which is high for a 1-in-10 variant. Maniac of New York. This is new from Aftershock Comics. Has a 1-in-15 variant that's selling for about $25. Almost double ratio there. Star Wars High Republic number 2. Again, selling a lot of copies of the main cover are selling, but pretty much right at cover price. Again, the winner here is the 1-in-25 variant, which is selling for between $90 and $100. So, again, quite a bit for a 1-in-25. And then Star Wars High Republic Adventures number 1. This, again, selling a lot of copies of the main cover, but the 1-in-10 variant, which has Yoda on the cover, is selling for about $20. So,
yeah, that's the more kids one, right?
That's the IDW it's like the YA series,
yep.
Which I haven't got a chance to read yet. I'm definitely going to read it.
Oh,
I didn't read number 2 of the High Republic yet either.
Oh, I didn't either. I was going to ask you about it when we got the checkout, but
no, I haven't got to that yet. I read a bunch today, about eight or nine books, but I didn't get to those. I am moving right along through the novel, though.
How is it?
Of High Republic. Yeah, and it's actually really good. Really good. Right about halfway through.
Oh, cool.
Right now, so, yeah. But yeah, that's it for Speculator Roundup.
Alrighty. Let's get into Back Issue Bonus, then.
All right. Not a lot here this week, but there's a couple. We've talked about this one several times in the past, but Strange Academy issue number 1.
Yep.
Not just holding its value at this point, but continuing to increase. This is now selling for about $80, which again, I don't understand the fascination with this book. I know it's the first appearance of everybody that's in it for the most part, but I don't see, like, this isn't a book that sells a lot of copies. Like, I don't know who's...
Well, maybe that's why. Is it rare? I mean, just a rarity?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, you would think usually number ones are worth a lot because they're first appearances of characters that everybody really seems to like.
Right.
But there's not really a lot of people that seem to like or read this book. So, I don't know why, but every time I talk about it, I'm surprised to see what this thing is going for. Also, you want to keep an eye on Daredevil number 17, which is from the current run. So, just, what are we on now, like 26? So, not too long ago. And that has a preview for Strange Academy, which is now selling for $15. That may continue to increase if this thing keeps going the way it's going. So, I'm sure you've got that
Well, I mean, you probably got both of these, but
yeah.
All right, Mystic number 15 cross gen. So this is a random comic that came out that has an unofficial appearance of Harry Potter in one panel, which is his only comic book appearance. And so that thing is selling for between $50 and $75. When I say unofficial, like, he is not, like, credited as Harry Potter. This is not a Harry Potter story. It's like, I think the artist just drew, like, Harry Potter in the background.
Oh, God.
Of a panel.
Is it, I like, Where's Waldo? Like, literally, yeah, I found him in the background, so it's an appearance?
And I don't know what sparked this now, other than the rumor of a potential TV show on HBO Max being in development, because Harry Potter hasn't really been in the public eye for several years. So, like, I don't
know
why.
Well, we have done six shows on it.
That's true. I mean, we are single-handedly bringing it back into the public eye. Yeah, $50 to $75. And hey, since I wasn't here last week when you and Dr. Joe were talking about that, I wanted to pitch my version of the show.
Okay.
That I don't know if is actually true or not. But what I was thinking would be great is a show based on one of the other schools that from the Triwizard Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we had all these other... There's like a...
Right.
A Wizard Academy, like, on every continent, right?
Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
Like, why don't we... So maybe it's not a prequel or a sequel. Maybe it takes place in the same time frame as Harry Potter, but we focus on one of these other schools.
Harry Potter in America.
Yeah. And that, I think, would be really... That would be my idea of what I would like to see out of the show. That's what I thought of when I heard this rumor. Would be like, you know, we've got all these other schools that we know to exist, but they were in and out of one movie and never were, like, never to be seen or heard from again. So,
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's kind
that's
of
what,
like,
I'd like to see.
That's even, like, along the lines of, like, you could do a, like, in the Skywalker saga, there's other stuff going on in the galaxy or other galaxies.
Exactly.
So it's the same idea, yeah. And you've been saying that for a while. Even with Harry Potter, you've been like, what's going on elsewhere? Why don't we know about that?
Well, because I talked about those when we reviewed that movie.
Right.
You know, like, these schools came in and they went out, and then, like, they never came back again. Like, they're not there for the final battle. They just kind of, like, you don't know what happens with any of those people. So,
right. If this whole Voldemort thing is so bad, why isn't the world teaming up?
Exactly.
They're just putting this one kid.
Right.
Well,
you go, boy.
Put the kid with the nice scar in. What could go wrong?
We got your back, buddy.
Yeah. It's all up to you.
From all the way over here.
Right.
We got your back. All right. And then last but not least, for back issue bonus, we have Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 16. This is the first appearance of Monica Rambeau.
Who's she?
I'll let you guys figure out on your own why this book is important. But it is selling for between $100 and $150 for raw copies. And there was a crazy sale of a 9.8 graded copy
that
sold for just over $1,400. So, again, this was I'm not going to say it was a dollar book, but I mean, this was not like this. Monica Rambeau is not like a top tier character in the Marvel universe. So
not
this wasn't
yet.
Going for a ton of money.
Exactly.
Not yet. You're right. But at this point, you know, this book is going crazy. So,
I mean, I love her so
get
far.
Get your copies now.
I think they've done a great job with the limited amount we've seen so far. We'll get to more of that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more.
We got spoilers.
Knowing
talk
like
coming,
her path through, knowing her path through the comics, though, you know, like, she has a big history with Captain Marvel, and things like that. So we'll see how they do that in the show. But
right.
But yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty then. Let's get into FOC. Let's cook through this bad boy. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. So. From Dark Horse Comics, we have Dead Dogs Bite, issue number 1 of 4, and there's 2 covers for that. DC has variant covers for Sensational Wonder Woman number 1, This is an artist called Ejikure, I think. But I really like that cover. And then Swamp Thing number one, our old friend Francesco Mattina.
Nice.
Has a variant cover that looks like a Francesco Mattina variant cover.
I like that DC has all these on FOC. That means Future State's almost over.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. So moving on to new series, this is like the post-Future State lineup here, because we have Batman Urban Legends number one. We've talked about this book already. There's multiple covers for that. Crime Syndicate number one has two covers. Infinite Frontier number zero has two covers. The aforementioned Sensational Wonder Woman number one has two covers. Suicide Squad number one with two covers. And Swamp Thing number one. Swamp Thing is a 10-issue miniseries, and it has two covers. We're going to talk about three of these books a little bit later.
Oh, really?
We get to check out. Yes, we are. Image has Nocterra number one with multiple covers. This should be a pretty big launch for them. Image is really putting a lot of press behind this book, yep. So it should be pretty good. Marvel, still kicking out the Alex Ross variant covers. I thought we were done with these, but we actually got one in this week.
Yep.
And then Avengers 43 is on FOC with the Vision cover, which is pretty cool. And then there's a bunch of new series from Marvel. We have America Chavez, Made in the USA. This is number one of five with multiple covers. Deadpool Nerdy 30, I think, is just a one-shot, but it has multiple covers. Demon Days, X-Men number one. This is the Peach Momoko book we talked about, I think, probably 2 weeks ago. I mentioned that.
Yeah.
This is the book where she's actually doing the covers, the interior work, the writing. This is completely her project.
Well, that'll fetch $1,000 in a couple weeks.
I know, right? So that's coming out. And
she's drawing everything?
Covers. She's doing it all. King in Black, Captain America, number one, has multiple covers. King in Black, Wiccan and Hulkling, number one, with multiple covers. And then Nonstop Spider-Man, number one, with multiple covers. There's just Nonstop Spider-Man number ones that continue to come out.
Yeah.
I don't know how many different Spider-Man
might as well
books
just
we
lean
need.
Into it.
But, yep, this is another one. It promises nonstop action. Like, this is supposed to be the book that, like, doesn't delve into any of the relationship stuff. There's no real Mary Jane or Aunt May or any of that.
Okay.
This is supposed to be, like, cover to cover
action
every issue. So we'll see if that's the format that we actually get, but that's kind of what they're advertising with this book.
Nice.
So if that's the case, I'm down for that. It's kind of like the Kong versus Godzilla. Like,
right.
You know, they were talking about it on the Ralph Report today. You could distill that down to 30 minutes and cut out everything except for Godzilla and Kong just pounding on each other for a half an hour, and I'd be down for that. So
hey.
That's what this book needs to be.
Back in the day, although, we called that a Tyson fight, and it was 6 seconds long.
Exactly. And this will probably be a 6 second read, because if that's all you're getting, you don't need a lot of dialogue.
No, so. You just flip the pages. Wow, look at that.
Yeah, we'll
I'm gonna read that again.
Yeah. For $4, I want a couple of words at least, but we'll see how it goes. All right, from AWA.
$4. I'm just going back to our early conversation.
It's a dollar a word. All right, AWA. Are we going to get through this? I'm Chuckles.
I'm going back to our off-air conversation.
Of which one? Oh, yeah.
$4.
All right. Now everybody's going to want to be on the joke.
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, God. $4. Give me a couple of words.
Yeah. All right. From AWA, we have Chariot, issue number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries with two covers. I'm going to rein us back on track here. From Boom, we have Proctor Valley Road, issue number one, with multiple covers. And finally, from Dynamite, we have James Bond, Agent of Spectre, number one, with about 200 covers. Dynamite put out a statement to the retailers about a month or so ago saying they were going to do away with, like, the 200 different variant covers on all their books.
And they didn't.
I haven't seen that come into practice yet, but I'd be down for that. Because, yeah, there's a lot to choose from there. That is it for FOC.
All right. Let's get into checkout. Go ahead. Just jump into the pool.
Yeah, so we got a bunch of books. There was a lot of number ones that came out this week, and there was a lot of books that I was really looking forward to reading, so I just put them all in here so we can talk about them. Cool. The first one is from Image Comics. It's Deep Beyond, issue number one. This is a 12-issue miniseries. It was written by Mirka Andolfo and David Goy, and it had art by Andrea Bricardo. So this takes place in my favorite setting, a future Earth, where we've had some kind of catastrophic disaster take place.
Post-apocalyptic.
This seems like it was more viral in nature and not necessarily like a nuclear apocalypse. But there was some kind of viral bug that devastated a huge portion of the population, left a very underpopulated planet, and brought some monsters, I guess. So I don't know how all that exactly happened.
You know what you go on with that. I'll bring up my point, but I was going to ask you a question because of that, but go ahead.
Okay. So as you get in these stories, you know, you've got a group of people who are trying to, you know, I guess repopulate the planet and make things better, make things sustainable for the future of the race. And so, this is kind of that group of people that you're going to deal with. You know, you meet, I guess he's a scientist who, I don't even know how to say it. I guess was in a relationship with somebody that's gone missing. Person was on an expedition undersea. So it seems like they've gone like under the oceans to try to find the answers to solve the problems that we have up on the surface. You know, the oceans on this planet are like the unexplored frontier, right? Like we've only tapped into,
right,
you know, 5% of the, you know, the undersea,
right,
experience. And so, she's gone missing and, you know, he's trying to, I guess this girl's sister is like some kind of person in power and he's trying to get her to send some people down to look for her. There's some other things that go on and it looks like there's another sister involved. I don't know how I really – ultimately, like, I was kind of excited to read this because I like Mirka Andolfo. But I don't know. I was a little confused by everything that was going on because I don't think they did a great job of explaining everything. I really liked the artwork, though.
That's what I was going to say.
I thought the art was really good. It just seemed a little convoluted. Like, I don't know where we're going.
See, I didn't find it that convoluted, and
they just didn't say, well, because to me, they didn't say anything, like, where did these monsters come from? Like, I don't understand, viral plague, like, how does that turn into monsters? You know, is this, like, was it an alien thing? Like, I don't know. I just felt like I didn't really know what was going on. You know, they've got some kind of, the virus, I guess, gives you, like skin, like it bubbles your skin. Like they had some kind of reaction to the virus.
But if you noticed, well, I don't want to get into it, but if you pay attention, I'm not saying you didn't, but when you're reading the book, some of the stuff you were talking about, it actually, there's a resemblance between what happens to the people and what the monsters look like. So I'm wondering if one has to do, and we don't know yet. This is a 12-issue book, so there's going to be, I mean, they can't give you everything.
No, I
thought they did a
good
job of setting the intrigue in, what, three different places, three different questions by the end of the book that you have on what's going on.
Well, right.
I thought it was well done, and I enjoyed the artwork because I thought the art told as much of the story as the words do. Like, if you just read it and you don't pay attention to the art, you're going to be missing. And if you just watch, if you just look at the pictures, you're going to obviously be missing too. But
like I said, I thought the art was really good.
Yeah.
To me, that was the better part. It was the better part of the book for me.
But it's a 12 issue book, so I thought it was really well done for that. And I'm intrigued for the this was one of the books I didn't have as high expectations on today. I was just last week we didn't really have any number ones. So when I saw a bunch of them this week, I was like, "Oh, I'll read that one. Oh, I'll read that one." So, and this one, I honestly just picked it up because it was a number one. I was happy to see you had read it too, and I was like, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting a lot out of it when I, when I first read it, or when I first looked at it. But my question is, reading this story, and like you said, it's more of a viral thing that caused the apocalypse.
Right.
Do you think that that was always the case, or do you think people are adapting their stories to what's going on in the world right now? Because this story could have been those creatures came down, it could have been anything. It didn't have to be viral. Right. And do you think that that's going to happen a lot in the future, in the coming months and years, of people being like, let's play to the public, let's play to what we know?
They did make reference to like a singular event that happened on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
85 years prior. This was 85 year. This was also New Year's Eve. So it was like the day, you know, it was kind of like the anniversary of the event. So like if it's a viral thing, like I don't know how you pinpoint that to one specific day and date, you know? So. Maybe something happened, like you said. Maybe it was aliens. Maybe that's when they came down and then they infected the planet with this virus. I don't really know. Because they don't really say. They just refer to it as, like, the event. But you know that it happened generations before. So, yes, the story has been, I'm sure it's like the old telephone game, right? Like, it's changed over time.
Right.
As it's been passed down from generation to generation. So, it could be that, what we think happened now isn't really what happened at all.
Right. So, we'll see.
And hopefully we'll find out more as we go through.
Yeah.
You know, the next couple of issues, hopefully we'll explain some of that. So.
Yep. All right.
I was a little let down because I liked Unnatural. I liked Mercy. I liked some of her other books more.
Right.
And I was hoping that this would be more like those, I guess. So I had higher expectations than you did. So
I think we both feel the same about it. We just came at it from different perspectives.
We had different directions.
Yeah, you're a little let down. I'm a little bit like, wow, that was better than I thought.
Right, we both met in the middle.
Exactly, so. Exactly. All right, next one on the list.
Yeah, this book is from Dark Horse Comics. It's Fear Case number one. This is just a 4-issue miniseries, which actually I'm a little bit disappointed by.
Exactly.
Yeah, after reading this, I kind of want more. so this was, I mentioned Dark Horse. It was written by Matt Kint, and it had art by Tyler Jenkins. This is the detective series. It focuses on, somebody that's going in to be like a Secret Service agent.
Yes.
And he meets... like, he's kind of told what his first assignment is going to be, and it's to solve this mystery that they call the Fear Case. And it's a mystery it's kind of like a cold case. It's like they think it's a punishment, like that they're being thrown on this loser case that, you know, nobody's ever been able to solve. But they kind of sit down with the people that are on the case now, and they're kind of talking about how they feel like they're close to solving it, but they only have 3 weeks left because I guess it's been set up that a team of people can only work on this case for 12 months and that's it, because in the past people have, like, it's consumed their entire lives. Like they've spent their whole careers and their lives trying to solve this case. It felt a little bit to me like, the Ark of the Covenant, when they kept talking about this case. That's what I
thought of.
What's that?
The briefcase from Pulp Fiction.
That yeah, that's who I didn't
exactly
I didn't think of
what
that.
I thought it was.
I was thinking the like I said I was thinking the Ark of the Covenant because they made reference to like the Nazis and like this thing has traveled through time and they tied it through each kind of decade to like events that happened, disasters,
right,
and things like
but
that.
But nobody knows what's in it. Nobody knows what it, and it was like it really felt to me like. Okay, I think we made a comic here based on the briefcase from Pulp Fiction, which,
right.
I mean, that has all sorts of rumors to it, too. And
but then there was this sub-story that was happening through it as well, which was, to me, like The Ring. Like, you watch this movie and you die in 7 days. And this was kind of this thing where I don't know if it's the same case or not, but I'm assuming it is. Although right. I don't know how it would be in the hands of these people, but... Like, this woman gets handed a bag and says, you know, and is told she can't look inside of it. And
the case,
it was given to her by her ex who said, you have to give this to the person you hate the most or it will find its way to the one you love the most. And if you look inside, you'll die in 3 days or something like that. And so what do you do when you get handed a bag by somebody and you're told not to look inside? What's the first thing you do?
Right.
You look inside. And so then things happen with this story that, you know, it's a comic. So we know that they're connected. There's no way that they're not. But the people that are investigating these things don't know. You know, the agents think this is a – they think this is like kind of a scam story, but they're all on board for the briefcase of death story. You know?
Right.
So I don't know. It was really interesting. I really liked the premise of this. The art wasn't – I didn't think the art was as good as it was in, like, Deep Horizon. Because, again, it's that style of art that I don't like as much that's more watercolory and not so much –
watercolory, sketchy, and – yeah. I knew – I didn't think you would like it, the art.
Not usually my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Although it does – it was more like – it reminded me of Department of Truth in that way.
Yep.
It had that kind of art.
I felt like the story felt like that, too.
It
did. Like, the story feels like it's kind of, you know, well-grounded, but obviously it's not. And even, did you read on where they give you some of the history of Secret Service and stuff? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, right. So this is supposed to be, supposedly the service was founded with Lincoln, like, so in the 1800s.
Right.
Like, it was on Lincoln's desk when he died, and it was signed into law by Alexander Hamilton, or signed into existence,
the Secret Service.
Yeah. And this is its longest cold case. So the idea is that this case goes all the way back to then, basically. So I really liked this. I really wish this was going to be more than four issues, because I think there's a lot of meat on the bone here that you could really dive into and have fun with. But I definitely recommend this. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. A lot of fun. And the next one we have, AWA.
Next one is Redemption number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries from AWA. It was written by Krista Faust, had art by Mike Diodato. Once again, we find ourselves in our post-apocalyptic future.
Yep.
When I first saw the covers for this and like the solicitations, I thought it was a Western. I didn't realize until I opened the book.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but it's not like a Western in the 1800s.
No.
Which is what I thought it was. It's like you open up to the first page and you see like this Western town, but there's like, you know, broken down cars and buried in front of it. And you're like, oh, well, definitely this happened. Yeah, I knew right away where we were. We were in post-apocalyptic
times. Your favorite home.
Yeah, my favorite place. But, you know, and you've got a town where, you know, you've got a guy who rules the town and he feels like, you know, obviously in these times, water is always the most precious resource. In every movie, you know, just ask Mad Max, you know, everybody wants water. And so, like, he's got the water and he's got the town and he, you know, kind of appoints himself the leader and the savior and he tries to make everybody think that he's looking out for their interests, but we all know this guy, right? He's the guy that, you know, is really only cares about himself and his interest. you know, there's a conflict that happens, and this woman is in trouble, and her daughter is trying to save her, and she's looking for this legendary gunslinger called the Butcher, and who doesn't live in the town, and they think that she's the one that's going to help them get out from underneath this guy. And so she goes on her hunt to find the Butcher, and things happen. Yeah, it's AWA. Again, to me, this was mid-tier AWA. It was one of those things we've talked about. It definitely yep. wasn't a bad – it's not a bad book at all.
Not at all.
It was completely serviceable. I really liked it. I really liked the art. I think it's the same team. I know it's the same artist, but it might even be the same writer from Bad Mother. Like, I think it's the same team.
Okay. I'm not sure.
But definitely the art, because it's the same guy. So it has that feel to it. Yeah, this, again, perfectly fine book. Like, it's not AWA's top tier book, but it's better than most of what's on the stands.
Exactly.
Now, you know, again, very, very good book. I really enjoyed it.
I think they need to make it into a series or a movie and have yeah. Linda Hamilton play the Butcher.
Yeah, I thought the same. Had that feel.
Oh, definitely. And I can't wait for the next book.
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's, like you said, it's not, it sounds funny to say, it's not AWA's best book. But then everything else that comes out of your mouth is, this was really cool, this was really good. Right. And this, you know, it's like, that's just how good their books have been.
Yeah, because that's what we said. Their worst books are still really good.
Really good.
And better than most of the other stuff that you're reading.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this was really good, and I loved the way they ended it. I love the story itself. And yeah. again, it's when I'm reading these books, I'm like, where are they getting these stories from? Like, AWA keeps coming up with more creative stories than I think we're seeing everywhere else. And right. I mean, Boom's good as well. But it's, I don't know. I'm just really, really liking everything they're doing.
Yeah.
And this is another good yeah. one.
Yep. Me too. Can't complain at all. And nope. like I said, you just can't go wrong with AWA. Like, you nope. should just pick up everything that they put out.
No, that's what we've been doing.
Because, yeah, like I said, even if it's not their best, it's still better than anything else you're going to read that week for the most part.
Yep. Yeah, we pick up every number one from AWA, and TLDR yep. picks up everything from Boom.
Yep. Well, and I read all the Boom,
I know,
too,
you do
for the
too.
Most part.
Yeah, you've been saying that for years. But AWA yeah. is just so new, and to come out of the gate like this, it's almost a year now. It'll be a year yep. next month we started with them. So,
yep.
crazy. What a run.
Yeah.
We should have a party.
Yeah. We're having it now.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a party. All right, yeah. this next book I didn't read. So I'm very interested in this
speaking
one.
Speaking of Boom, this one comes from Boom, and this is Spectre Inspectors, issue number 1 of 5. This is written by Bowen McCurdy and Caitlin Musto, and it had art by Bowen McCurdy. So this is kind of under the Boom Box imprint, which is supposed to be...
Boom Box. Nice.
Kind of like the YA stories.
Okay.
But this didn't necessarily feel like that when I was reading this. Like, I was reading it expecting it to be more bent towards the younger readers, but it didn't feel that way. It looks that way.
Yeah.
The art, it has that cartoony kind of art, the same as kind of like The Last Witch from a few weeks ago had. But the story felt adult. This is very much like Ghost Hunters. That's exactly what this is. Like, okay. it's a team of people that are going to visit haunted houses and things like that, and they have a web show, and they're, you know, putting it online. But the hitch is that one of the people in the group, Noah, is actually able to speak with, like, have connections with ghosts and dead people. So, whereas, like, in the real world, when you watch Ghost Hunters, spoilers, it's all made up. In this book, it's not necessarily all made up. This is kind of like the you know, like they're the Scooby-Doo gang.
Oh, nice.
of this. And they're going to run into ghosts and things like that. So, yeah, they go to this town, which I'm trying to see if it's in the notes here, but I don't see it. But anyway, they end up at this town that's supposed to be like the most haunted town in the U.S. You know, lots of things have happened there. And so that's where they're going for their show, because they've got this web show, but they don't have a big audience. They don't have a lot of people watching, and they're trying to build that. But they had something happen on their previous show that went viral, and they all of a sudden started getting a little bit of following. So they're trying to, you know, follow it up with this investigation. They go to this town, and yeah, things happen. You know, like, you know, I don't want to really say any, I don't want to say anything else past that. Other than, again, this is, it's ghost hunters. That's what they do. They go to a town, they find real ghosts. There's a real demon. There's real possession that happens. and I'll leave it at that. Really liked it. I thought the art was really good. Like I said, it had a kind of a fun, cartoon style, and, but I didn't feel like this was necessarily for younger kids necessarily, because it, there is, like, again, demonic possession, and they talk about exorcisms and things like that. And that's not what I would expect you to have for your kids' books.
Right.
You know, like, they read Goosebumps and stuff, but they don't go into, like, demonic possession and things like that. So it didn't feel like it was again, it had, like, an adult theme. So, it, you know, it wasn't kind of beneath anybody to read. And yeah, I liked it. I thought the art was great. I thought the writing was fun. I liked all the characters. So, definitely looking for this. And again, this is, or again, I haven't said it yet, but every issue of this, are 30 pages. So you're getting quite a bit of story for your, you know, for your buck. And, yeah, it's definitely enjoyable. I really recommend it.
Cool. All right, my book that I read, maybe you did read it, but Maniac of New York, number one?
No, did not.
Did not? Okay, from Aftershock Comics, writer Elliot Kalin, and art by Andrea Muti. Muddy, Muti, M-U-T-T-I. And this is a really good horror suspense read. I really enjoyed this book. It starts off with a, quote, masked slasher. And he started on New Year's Eve, and he killed like 70-something people right at the open of the book. And he can't be stopped. And he's been doing it. His name's Maniac Harry. He's basically, they can't stop him. And for all intents and purposes, the entire city of New York is just like, all right, well, we just have to learn to live with it.
Right.
And the police, so this story is basically these two female characters are teaming up, and one's a rookie and she's there, and she wants to track him down and solve this and kill him or what, get, you know, basically save the city. But it's well grounded. I'm making this sound more like a superhero type thing, but it's more like this is actually what's going on. And at the end of the book, if you can see all the different sightings of where they've had multiple killings, I think that they did a really good job of making it feel like this could really happen. And then the city kind of like just brushing it under the rug. And I'm like, but the whole time you're like, well, if you don't like it, just get out of the city. But people are dying in like groups. He'll just go on this killing spree of like 12. He'll kill 12 people. And and then it gets to the point that the police are actually blaming other murders that they don't want to solve, that they can't solve. They're just like, oh, he did it. So they don't have to solve it, and they put it into unsolved cases. I thought it was really good. The artwork was really good, but the suspense throughout the book, I mean, there's so much more to this than what I'm saying, because I don't want to give anything away. But I thought it was really, really well done. Really a lot of fun, and it is a kind of gruesome too.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't order that one, so I didn't catch that today.
Yep. Pretty good. I know. Cool. I recognize the name, though. Elliot Kalin. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't, but...
I don't know why I recognize the name. I might have
seen it before, but it doesn't sound familiar.
All right. What else do you read?
Yeah, so I read some Infinite Frontier, which is
oh
kind of the post-future state DC. So we talked about a lot of these being on FOC this week, and so we got some advanced PDFs of all of these books.
Ooh.
I didn't read all of them, but I did read Infinite Frontier issue 0, and I read Crime Syndicate number 1 and Sensational Wonder Woman number 1.
Okay. And so what's the report?
I am really concerned for the future of DC Comics.
Uh-oh.
So Infinite Frontier is kind of like the event book of the group. This is I don't know exactly how many issues it is, but when this one ended, it said continued at Infinite Frontier number 1. So there's obviously a couple of them at least. And again, this is exploring post Death Metal, post future state. So at the end of Death Metal, you know, Diana is kind of transcended, and she has like kickstarted the multiverse. And this book is kind of like picks up where that left off. And it was kind of like, this was, the It's a Wonderful Life Diana comic.
Okay.
You know, they kind of want her, she's brought to this group of, celestial beings, and they want her to join them and basically become like, she's earned her reward. This is kind of like her heaven. Like, you know, she's a goddess. They don't necessarily die and go to heaven. They want her to become this. And she doesn't want to because she was told when the multiverse was restarted that there were still dangers ahead, blah, blah, blah. And the Spectre, who is one of these beings, kind of takes her on this journey where she's observing Batman and Superman. Like, she's kind of observing all of the other Justice League members and where they are in their post-Death Metal careers. And so it is sort of like, there's definitely pieces of 5G here. So it feels like this is like an amalgamation of what they wanted to do originally, and
okay.
They're changing a lot of things. You know, so some of what we talked about with 5G looks like it's going to come to pass. Like, Barry Allen looks like he's going to become part of the multiverse and not be around anymore, and Wally is going to be Flash. You know, they're kind of setting up the post future state Tim Fox version of Batman and where he's going to play in. So he's going to stick around and still be part of this. There was Yara Flor, the Wonder Woman from Future State, who was going to have her own title coming out in the spring, and she's going to be a player going forward. And so they kind of, this was a series of shorts that were setting up all of these things. But, you know, man, I just was not, I hate to be this guy because, you know, again, the same thing with Future State.
It's tough.
I depend on these books. Like, right. I need these books to be good, and I need them to do well. But I am just so not impressed with anything that they've got coming out of this. Like, I thought this book was, maybe I'm just so tired of the multiverse and the crisis in this. Everything has to be like on a multiversal level. Like, well, you don't just have stories anymore.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was really slamming Marvel. I was really down on them because I didn't like what they were doing, and I thought DC was doing it so right. And now I've done a complete 180, you know?
Right.
Where I think Marvel now is kind of get their act together, and most of their titles are in a pretty good place. And DC just seems to be all over the place. They can't seem to figure out what they want to do with any of their characters. You know, they're making these changes that nobody's really asking for. Like, nobody wants to get rid of Barry. Nobody wants to get rid of Diana. Like, Diana doesn't seem like she's going to be, we don't know what's going on with her because there's like two new Wonder Woman coming. You know, they're really kind of setting up the John Kent Superman thing. So I don't know. I was really unimpressed with this book and not really encouraged for what's coming. And so then I read two of the spinoff books because Crime Syndicate and Sensational Wonder Woman are spinoff books that are part of Infinite Frontier. I thought they were. I thought Crime Syndicate was terrible. Like,
really?
It really was. The art was terrible. The story was terrible. Like, it just was not interesting at all. if you don't know, the Crime Syndicate is like the evil Justice League.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Ultraman and Superwoman, which is Wonder Woman and all this stuff. And wasn't very good. The Sensational Wonder Woman, I also didn't think was very good. It was at least Diana. So I guess this is going to be her book. But I wasn't super impressed with the way this started. The villain was Psycho Pirate from, like, the Harley Quinn cartoon. Dr. Psycho, I guess. And had her stuck in, it really kind of felt like WandaVision to me. She was kind of stuck in, a dream world where she was like a housewife. And I don't know. I just was not impressed with either one of these books. And it just has me really worried about DC going forward. Batman's still going to be Batman. You know, James Tynion is still writing Batman. But other than that, like, I don't know. I'm not really super pumped about any of this stuff.
Well, see, that's the thing is if they still have their other books going, then it's not as detrimental to either the stores or the reader, because if it's good, just like anything else, I don't mind them trying other things. But this Future State thing I thought was weird because they basically shut down the rest of their
Right. That's books. The thing. They'll still be Batman. They'll still be Detective Comics.
Yeah.
They'll still have some of their titles, but a lot of these new titles that are coming out, because, like, again, we have Sensational Wonder Woman. I don't know if that takes the place of Wonder Woman.
Right.
Or if it's going to be separate. But then if it's separate, like, do we have two different timelines going? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know what they're going to be doing. I really don't. It just, again, it doesn't excite me at all. I was really hoping to read these things and kind of be pumped for, like, the post-Future State lineup. And these books that I read didn't do it for me. So,
well, that's too bad.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see.
And, you know, again, I know that in a few weeks you'll pick these up and read them, and we'll have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
But my first impression on these is I'm really concerned because, like, I have seen a major drop off in sales because I'm not selling a lot of DC.
Oh yeah.
The next Batman is not selling Batman numbers. I have sold a decent amount of Future State, but I haven't made up by normal DC numbers.
Right.
I'm definitely seeing a dip in sales. And I can't have this be the norm going forward.
Well, that's the thing too, is I think they build it wrong. They, you know, because just the idea, like I was saying, why am I getting invested in this? And admittedly, the day that came out, I was probably having a bad day, whatever it was. I talked to you about it. But if you get a little frustrated but there's no consequence for you not reading it,
right,
then it's very easy to put it down or not pick it up in the first place. Now, I've heard a lot of people that like it. You know, Dr. Joe likes most of the books, but there are a few that even he's like, oh, what are they doing here? And that's fine. Not everything's going to hit. That's fine. But the problem is, even if these things are great, right? Say you and I were completely wrong, and these are fantastic books. Well, what did we lose by not reading the two issues?
Right.
Or whatever, because we can always pick it up later. And that's how I looked at it, which a lot of your readers, like, you're not selling a lot of it now. You're not selling the numbers you were selling before. But if this turned out to be a smash hit, well, of course, people will come back in and pick them up or just catch up on their own. But to shut everything down like that, it's like War of the Realms was a gigantic endeavor.
Right.
But it didn't shut down the rest of Marvel to do it.
Right.
I don't know. I just...
Well, same thing.
That part leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, they're doing King in Black right now, and it's the same thing. It's a big event, but all the books are still going. Like, they didn't close Marvel to do the King in Black.
Yeah.
So...
Speaking of which, did you read Daredevil last week?
Yeah.
And King in Black tie-in?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was.
I was wondering how, like, when it first showed up, you heard me talk about it with Dr. Joe, but I was like, oh, I was like, how are they do? Oh, man. I thought that was, it's going to be crazy going, how many books do you think that's going to last?
Oh, probably one, maybe one more.
Really?
Yeah, maybe one They'll more. Wrap that King up. In Black will be wrapping up here pretty soon. Yeah. I think there's only one more issue of King in Black, but maybe two more issues. So, I mean,
yeah, Daredevil's monthly, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll have to wrap up.
Yeah, it may go one more issue.
Well, it'll have to, at least.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, for sure. For sure, one more, but that'll probably be it. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. All right. Is that all we got?
It is.
All righty. Let's get into real world then. John, what did you watch this week?
Well, I had 2 weeks, so.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I watched quite a bit of stuff, actually, because we didn't talk last week. So I didn't watch all of this week, but we haven't talked about it.
Let me get my notes ready here.
Yeah, well, the first one you and I talked about, I talked to you about it on the phone last week, is I watched, we finished Warrior, which is, we watched season 2 of Warrior. I really, really liked it. But here's the rub. So this was a Cinemax series originally, and it came over to HBO Max because it's part of the parent company. Unfortunately, Cinemax canceled this show last year. Last year, season 2 came, so it's probably been a year. And it didn't conclude. The writers, the people involved, did not know that they weren't coming back. So obviously, they didn't tell a story that was complete. Here's the thing with that. Like, I really want people to watch this show. Because if everybody watches it, they might pick it up, and HBO Max might do a season 3 and finish this story.
Right.
But I have a hard time recommending everybody to watch a show that's really good for 2 seasons, but really needs a season 3.
Right. Yeah. You were telling me that last week. You're like, I really want you to watch it, but you might be really angry at the end because you're hanging. But you need people to watch it so that it can go on.
Right, it's kind of one of those things where, and HBO Max was promoting the heck out of this. Like, that's how I found it. Like, it was showing up on my Facebook feed, like, every day. Facebook and Instagram, it was all over the place because they were really pushing it when it dropped on their service. So I'm hoping that a lot of people watch it. Now, again, I'll say, like, the 2 seasons are great. Season 2 is much better than season 1. Like, it's... The show kind of really finds its legs in season 2. You know, it kind of figures out what it's doing, and all the characters get much more in-depth stories, and they really get to play with the characters a lot. And it is really good, but it also is really not finished. So it's just one of those things where
Did Lydia like it?
Lydia really liked it too, yeah.
All right. I'll see if I can get Jen into it.
It was really good martial arts. Great choreography on that. It was really good. Again, it's kind of like a turn of the century story. It takes place in 1800s San Francisco.
Martial arts 1800s. I bet you Jen's out.
Jen may not be into it, but it's a really good action show. It is really, like I said, it's really good. Time will tell whether we get another season of it. So anyway, that was kind of the first thing we finished up like 2 weeks ago. I watched a couple of movies. I watched Superman Red Son on HBO Max.
Oh yeah, that's
I hadn't seen it yet. So I watched that last Wednesday when I was home alone. And
what'd you think? I watched it in DC Universe, I think.
Yeah, I kind of watched it in stages because I had to keep stopping.
Right.
But I really liked it.
So you made a miniseries out of it.
Yeah, I made a Snyder cut out of it.
Right.
I watched it in 4 chunks. I liked it. Really good movie. Played a little bit loose with the comic, it didn't follow it exactly,
they usually
but it was
do.
It was close enough, though, that, you know, the themes were all there. And yeah, right. I thought they did a great job. Like, DC Animation just continues to kill it. Like, I wish most of their live action stuff was half as good as the animated
right.
stuff. Because they did a pretty good job.
And their animation,
that.
It's nicer too, because it's only, they're usually what, an hour 20?
It was 90 minutes, very I think, tight. Maybe 80 minutes, something yeah. like that. Yeah, very tight. No BS. Like, it was just, story was told.
Yep.
And, yeah, really liked that. So then we started watching a show on Netflix called Monarca. And this is a Mexican show. So again, it's completely subtitled. It's all in Spanish, of course. You gotta read it. but don't delete it, man. It is so good. You can always do the change the language track. Because I tried it.
Can you?
Yeah, you can change the language track to play
in
English.
What's it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. And it is dubbed. So if you just go up,
you get the fun mouths.
Yeah. So that's the thing. If you're watching it on Apple TV, which I know you are, when you're watching it, if you just do the down swipe where it brings up the audio menu, you could change the language to English. But the problem is you get that dubbed, soundtrack. So,
right.
you know, it's not going to match up with the words and, you know, the voices don't always seem to match up with the characters that you're watching. And I turned it off. Like it was better for me to go back to Spanish and watch it, with subtitles. And, you know, I speak a fair bit of Spanish actually. So
right.
I picked up quite a bit of it. I was able to follow a lot of it without the subtitles, but this is a really, really good show. Takes place, it's based around a family that, Monarca is monarch in Spanish.
Right.
But it's a Monarca Corporation. And it's basically this giant conglomerate this family owned. And, they have like tequila company and they do a lot of stuff and a bunch of drama. You know, it's a family drama.
Nothing to do with Godzilla?
No. No.
Wrong
it's
monarch.
A family drama. Yeah. It's like, Dallas or something, you know, rich family that's always fighting. Everybody wants to be CEO. Everybody wants to be in charge. A lot of backstabbing, a lot of murders and, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, it's one of those things. But it's really good. So
they made a movie out of
that.
A podcast company. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two seasons of that. Season two just dropped on January 1st of this year. So, another one of these shows that hasn't been renewed for season three yet. And really needs one. But, you know, it's Netflix. So being that this has only dropped 3 weeks ago or, you know, 3.5 weeks ago, you know, they haven't announced a season three yet because they're waiting to see how season two does. But yeah, I know your inclination is to not watch it because it's subtitled, but it is excellent. Like, it really is worth the watch.
Okay.
I can't say enough.
I have it on the list.
So that took, you know, that was two seasons. So that took most of the week to watch.
Friday.
No, it took us all. That's really all we watched other than, two more movies. Watched The Little Things on HBO Max, which debuted on Friday. This is the second kind of day and date theater HBO Max release. The best thing about this movie is that it was in Dolby Vision and 4K and Dolby Atmos. Can't say anything else good about it.
I didn't really even find that to be very impressive. Because the movie didn't lend itself for any of that stuff.
No, it wasn't. Because it was not that kind of, it wasn't a big action movie. But I noticed that it was there. Like I knew that it was in Atmos. I could see it, really could see it on my receiver. That's how I knew more than anything, because nothing watching it really
nothing like Dolby Atmos on a dialogue heavy movie,
right? But I really disliked this movie.
I disliked it.
Now I will say, like, all three leads were fantastic. You know, Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, Jared Leto were great. They were all great in this movie. I just did not think this was a good movie. I was very disappointed with the ending. I don't know. Just didn't like it. I feel like you have a different opinion of it.
Nope.
But
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't think I disliked it as much as you, but I kind of agree with everything you're saying. I wanted to like it more.
Right.
Jen and I were both like whelmed.
I would say, like, if it had a satisfying ending, I would really have liked the movie.
Right.
Like, I liked it for about 90 minutes. and then I just really disliked the end. Because, like, I felt like this was an episode of a show that was just, you know, to be continued next week. But it's like Warrior, where it ended and got canceled. And there's, like, not going to be an ending to
right.
it. Because this answered absolutely no questions, you know.
Well,
you don't know really anything. You're left with more questions than answers, which isn't always a bad thing. But I just felt like this was very unsatisfying.
It was like unsatisfying because it was like it actually answered a couple of questions that you thought were like periphery issues to the main story.
Yeah.
But then the main story is it leaves, talk about plot holes, it leaves a whole bunch of holes.
Yeah.
That it's just like, I don't know.
It just doesn't
I didn't
answer.
Think it was horrible. I didn't think it was as bad as you thought because, like you said, like Denzel was awesome.
He's great.
Like
yeah, he's Denzel,
always is, right?
Right?
Rami Malek was awesome.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto was... He was fantastic. And the entire thing to me, it felt like a cheaper version of Seven. And it was like, and the entire time, and obviously we're not talking spoilers, but the entire time you're like, this is, I felt, Jen and I were saying like, this is Seven. It's going to be Seven. Yeah. And it actually kind of led you in that direction for a while, but you're like, this is Seven. And then, But to your point about the ending, though, you're just like...
It was just like it ended, and I was like, oh, it ended. Like, I thought there was 20 more minutes left or something, you know?
This is obviously spoiler-free, but you know what I'm talking about. I called the ending long before the ending happened to Jen, and she goes, you were right when Denzel had the brown bag at the end and threw it in the trash. And I was like, yeah. But I'm like, that just leads to a whole bunch of other holes.
Right.
Like, why did... Why? Yeah. Like, I don't even get, like, when we talked in checkout about AWA and they're coming up with these great stories and stuff, right? Why does this story need to be told?
Yeah.
I don't even understand. I got no deep meaning out of it. You know what it felt like? It was like, it felt like somebody was going to say, let's make a movie about what cops really do.
Right.
And then, yeah, we don't need the action. We don't need the fun. This is what they really do. Like, and the one where they were sitting on the stakeout. And even Jen and I were like, I could never do that. Right. I'm getting bored sitting here watching them do it. And it's like, that should not be a scene in a movie.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe that's what they set out to make is like the humdrum life of a cop and how the pitfalls of it. Because that's basically what it was. And I didn't think it was absolutely horrible, but. I heard Martin talking about it on the Nerdy Legion podcast, and he had a great point. He was like, if I'd gone to the movies, I probably wouldn't be very happy. But because I was home and it was on HBO Max, I can, and he actually said, he goes, watch it. If you have HBO Max, it's worth a watch.
Well, I mean, if you got 2 hours to kill, watch it.
There's 90 minutes of entertainment.
Exactly. You get an hour and a half of good movie, and then and the whole time I was watching this, and then I heard this on the Ralph Report today too, or yesterday, but I was already thinking the same thing. If Jared Leto had approached the Joker the way he approached this character, we'd be talking about his Joker in a much different light.
I think, you know, Jared Leto did, and we didn't get to see it.
Well,
and
maybe.
That's been the running story. It's like he never got to be what he wanted to be because the stories behind the scenes where he was that Joker and it just never got on screen.
This guy was creepy. You know what I mean?
It was creepy in a minimalist way.
Yeah.
Like he was creepy without really doing anything except
exactly.
for like
that's
his
what
eyes.
I'm saying. And that was like, but it was like, I don't know, like psychotic in a way. And
right.
Like, again, that's the way he should have played the Joker. Like that scene where he kept moving from the opposite side of the freeway, like with Denzel Washington.
Yes.
I was like, that's pretty awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I guess if you have HBO Max and 2 hours to kill, watch it. But
yeah.
I can't really give it a thumbs up.
Well, if you like Denzel, and who doesn't, it's definitely worth checking out his performance. Jen had a question. Did he put on the weight, or was that a prosthetic? Because Denzel doesn't seem like that. He doesn't seem like that heavy of a guy.
No, I think he put on the weight, though. It looked pretty natural, I thought.
Jen was, because during the movie, you have this kind of time. Jen was Googling, did he put on the weight?
Right.
But she did find that
Leto. Is he Christian Bale? Like, is he method?
Right. You know? But Jared Leto did put on the weight.
But, what's his name? Gladiator. Russell Crowe.
Russell
like,
Crowe.
Did he gain all the weight like Russell Crowe?
What was that, for the good guys?
Yeah, and that good one where... What was that one? The one where he was the whistleblower for the tobacco company?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he gained a bunch of weight for that one, too.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
What else did you watch? Anything?
So then, So the complete opposite of this, I watched Palmer, which I think was on Apple Plus.
Okay.
This is the one with Justin Timberlake, and it just dropped a couple of days ago.
How was that? Really good?
That was excellent, yes. Very... tearjerkery though, like it had its moments where it was pretty hard to watch. But it's got a great story to it. Really good. Like he's coming out of prison, and trying to find his way in the world after being locked up for 12 years. And, he's back in the town where he grew up. So everybody knows him. Most people know what happened to him. So nobody really wants to give him a second chance. Kind of gets involved with this kid who lives next door, and it's one of those stories, like the kid comes in and he initially doesn't want to have anything to do with the kid, and by the end, the kid changes his life, kind of thing. But
nice.
Really, really good though.
Is that a movie or a series?
It's a movie. Yeah, it's okay. A movie. Two hours. You're in and out. Ultimately, very watchable. Definitely worth it. If you have Apple Plus, like this is one of those things where not everybody's going to have access to it.
Right.
But if you do, it's definitely worth the watch. Justin Timberlake, I'm not always his biggest fan, but he was great in this. Really did a good job. So, and the
I
kid
actually
is,
am a big fan of Justin Timberlake.
The kid is great.
I like his stuff.
The kid
I don't like his music, but I
really
like
great.
Him.
Yeah, I guess the same. I like his acting more than... his music.
I just like him personally, like, not that I know him, but I mean, like, no. I love his attitude. I love his...
Yeah, he
like,
seems
he'll
like a
do
good
anything.
Dude. Yeah, he
you know
seems
what I mean?
Like,
like, creatively, he'll do anything, and I really, like, I can't believe we didn't see that one yet, because we had been looking forward to it. When did it drop? Like, Friday, I think you said?
Yeah, just a couple days ago.
Just a couple days ago, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'd been looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so that was excellent. And then lastly, of course, we watched WandaVision, which we'll talk about
we'll get
here
to
in
that
a minute.
Minute.
Yeah. So that was what I watched.
Go down my stuff. We went back to the 80s and watched Eddie Murphy Delirious.
Oh, geez. I haven't seen that in forever.
It's on Netflix. Check that out and try not to cringe.
Yeah, it's probably pretty bad, huh?
Oh, my.
Delirious is the first. It's the red suit one, right?
That's the red, the first
one. Okay,
yeah,
that's the first one. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Well, I got to imagine. We didn't watch Raw in the last week, but it's probably just as bad. But...
I remember watching Delirious with my grandparents when I was in high school. That was something.
Do you know how old he was in that?
I don't know, like 19 or 20?
22.
Okay.
He's 22 young. Years old. We're watching him, and you're like, that is not a 22-year-old kid.
No.
Arguably, Delirious and Raw are two of the best stand-up acts. And
oh, yeah,
they come
great.
From a 22 and, what, a 25-year-old.
Yeah, they're great.
But
just, I remember cringing watching that with my grandparents.
But nowadays, you cannot put that out. There would be no way. You got to watch it. You got to watch it. It's like,
hell, I remember most of it. I've seen Delirious about 100 times.
Exactly.
Now, granted, I haven't seen it in 20 years, but
right. Oh, I used to quote it constantly in high school.
I mean, we watched that. That and
you
Raw.
And I did him, yeah. Billy Connolly. Yeah. We were quoting it all through high school.
Oh, Billy Connolly was great too. I haven't seen that in forever either. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we had a blast watching that. I think we did that Saturday night. So good. But yeah, you definitely should watch it and you'll know what I'm talking. I mean, literally the first set of jokes that he does, you cannot do nowadays.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Brutal, but hysterical. He's great. Okay. Did you see Resident Alien on Sci-Fi with Alan Tudyk? It just came out. One episode is out.
Oh, it's a series?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't.
So he plays this alien that accidentally crashes on Earth.
Well, because that was a movie. Wasn't that a movie?
I don't know.
I think it was a movie years ago.
Okay.
Or something. So, I don't know, but I thought
Alan Tudyk is awesome. This one, you have to check it. Yeah. I know. Jen loved this. She can't wait for the next one. I watched it again later that same day with my son. I was like, Joe, we got to see this. It's really good. It's on Sci-Fi. We're taping it. So
yeah, somehow I missed that. Yeah, I'll definitely recording watch that.
But yeah, Alan Tudyk's awesome with his voices and all his different faces and everything. And
yeah,
so he's an alien that doesn't understand really. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. And there's a really good story to it too. Like you don't know where this is going to go. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Big
Sky. I know
Sky,
that was a comic book, but
yeah, it is. It's based off of a comic.
Yeah.
Big Sky, episode yeah, 6 and 7.
Yep, I watched that.
You saw 7, the one that came out last night?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I didn't watch, no, I saw 6 then.
Okay.
The first one back.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, little things. We talked about Game of Thrones, and we started Night Stalker, the one that Dr. Joe was talking about last week.
Yeah, yeah. I've looked at that. I was going to.
It's pretty good.
I need to watch that, yeah.
It's not as fast. Jen's like, not as fast-paced as she'd like. And the thing that Jen was a little, it's not that she doesn't like it, but she likes it when you see more about the killer, where right. This is more about the guys that are trying to catch the killer.
Right.
So it's the other side of it, and it's like almost like the killer is like extra. Don't worry about him, but here's what we had to do. So I actually enjoyed it because you get more of the analytical side of it. So that was pretty good.
Right.
And that's about it. That's cool. What we got so far. You ready to get into some WandaVision? Spoiler free?
Sure.
WandaVision! All right. What did you think of episode 4 called We Interrupt This Program?
Yeah, well, I thought this was the explanation show, right? Like, this is where you found out everything you didn't know before.
Now, were you surprised? I was kind of surprised we got this so early. I was expecting another...
Well, we're halfway through, right? Like, at this point, we're four episodes out of 9. So, we were 12 minutes away from being halfway through. I don't know, it was coming eventually. I felt like this is where you usually get it when you're watching these type of shows. You always have that one episode that seems like it goes outside the narrative and it doesn't focus on the main characters and, gives you the explanations of everything. Spoiler free, we were kind of on the mark with some things, but way off on other things. So,
yeah, we'll get into that.
But yeah, I don't know. I liked it. At this point it shouldn't be spoilers, but you get some of the outside characters that you we had heard about coming into the show. So our Darcy's back, Agent Wu was back.
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. You get the other side of the story because, when the previous episode ended, of course, Monica was ejected from the world.
From and wherever.
Right. And this kind of gives her side of the story, how she got there in the first place and, what's going on and what's really happening. So Thought it was great. I think it kind of gives us what we need for the second half of the series, and can't wait. I mean,
I think for like you said, maybe a halfway marker or whatever you want to call it. Each episode pushes us a little further into what is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we keep asking that question and it gets us deeper, but keeps each episode raises more questions as well.
For sure.
And yeah. I think you and I said it when we talked last week that everything I keep hearing from people that have seen the entire series, because there are critics that have gotten the entire series so far.
Yeah.
And they say, you'll look at the MCU completely different. And every episode leads you in that direction that you like. You're already looking at the MCU completely differently. What's it going to be like when we get five more, to your point? Like, we're not even halfway, but we're going to get five more. And we'll get into more in spoilers, but I just... What they're doing, and I mean, we touched on it a little bit earlier with the MCU, but what they're doing with this MCU is just insane.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. All right. Is that all you got?
I think so.
Because I don't want to go too much. I just want to get right to the kryptonite, and we'll talk spoilers on that. So we'll wrap it up from here, and then we'll pick up with Kryptonite Key Club afterwards when we lock the doors. So that's it for this week. We got a lot in, not even two hours yet. Look at that. Yeah. And if you're going to stick around, who knows how long that's going to go. But in the meantime, next week, by the time you hear us again, we will have more on WandaVision, tons more. And you can talk to us on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can check out us and all the other great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. Go there and check them all out. And please subscribe. Do us all a favor. It doesn't cost you nothing.
It does not.
That'll do it.
Autobots, roll out.
What was that? Autobots?
Autobots, roll out.
Nice. Look at that. You take a week off. You just got a new signature sign.
A new outro.
New outro. All right. With that.
Autobots, roll out.
Hey, Fred. All right. Is the door locked?
It is locked.
Perfect. Party time. Pants off, dance off.
There you go. All
right.
Wayne's World. Party time.
There you go. All right. Where do you want to start? Spoilers.
Well, we go right to the end, right? That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Doesn't matter.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, like this is the explanation episode, right? This is kind of tells us what's been going on. So, I mean, the first thing it did is kind of it cemented itself in the timeline, right? Like now we know when this takes place, which is sometime after Endgame, but
like
before Spider-Man Far From Home. Right. This kind of picks up with the blip, right? So we find out that Monica Rambeau was part of the snap, right? And she, I guess, disappeared with the snap, and she returned with the blip. And it kind of gave
us
a little bit of insight,
scene, huh?
Right. And it here's the thing that was a little off about that, though, because like. Listening to like Peter talk about his experience in the blip, it seemed like when he was, you know, snapped out, he was kind of aware that he was snapped out. But here in this case, Monica doesn't seem to know that she was snapped out. Because when she comes back, she thinks she didn't go anywhere. Like she just thinks she fell asleep and woke up. So it kind of gave us different insights onto what happened to them while they were gone.
But actually, when we were watching it, Joe and I had kind of that same conversation. But I felt like Peter's explanation in Endgame when he first get, they were in the middle of the battle and right. at the end of Endgame, and they were all just coming back, right? And I felt like Peter's explanation there, like Spider-Man likes to do, he's always talking. He's always, right. you know, everything, even during battles, he's always yapping away. Well, I felt, remember the scene in that, in Endgame when Peter was like, so then I was there, but then I wasn't there, and now I'm back. And blah, blah, blah. So that quick explanation felt a lot more like what Monica was saying it, when she was first blipped back. It wasn't until later when Peter really could sit down and analyze what happened where we got a little bit more of an explanation from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt like her hospital reaction was more like Peter's reaction in Endgame when he had first come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it didn't bother me at all. It just kind of was like I thought it was different because like they all came back like in Endgame. They all come back from the snap or the blip or whatever it is, and none of them seem to be confused. Like, they're all just ready for battle. You know what I mean? Like, none of them were really confused about their circumstances or – but, like, she came back, and she was really confused about what was going on. You know, like,
well,
she wakes up in the hospital and doesn't know what's going on. But, like, these guys, they all come back, and they're just ready to fight. Like, they,
yeah, but I don't think they came back in Endgame and went right to the fight. Because that's the other thing Peter said in Endgame is he's like, we came back. Now, if everything was to hold up the way they showed it in Far From Home and the way they showed it here is that everybody came back where they left.
Right.
So Peter came back on Titan along with Doctor Strange. And then Doctor Strange brought them all back. So they had, before they got to the Endgame battle, they probably had a conversation, and that's when, you know, then Doctor Strange got everything all organized and brought everybody in. All the people from Wakanda, all of the characters came in. So it wasn't like they came right from the snap and then came to the battle. It there was time in there for an explanation, I'm sure. 5-10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, but to like, when you see it in the snap, them come back from the snap in Far From Home. Remember, the people were just showing up on basketball courts.
Right.
And now
right.
we
like
see
said,
it
everybody
in the hospital.
Came back. Everybody
right.
came back where they were
Which
when
is
they
crazy.
Left. Right. Because people were coming back into their apartments that were rented to other people.
Right.
You know, and
now, what if you were on a plane? You and I said that when it happened.
Yeah.
When we saw, like, what if you were flying in a plane? Now that plane's not there, you
exactly.
come back and, like, people just falling.
A lot of people were probably just falling out of the sky. It's
yeah.
raining men, you know?
Right.
Yeah, if you were on a cruise, now you're just sinking to the bottom right. of the ocean.
Exactly.
If you're in a car, now you're just standing in the middle of the freeway. So, yeah.
Right. Or sitting in the car position.
Wasn't really thought out. Thought through, but
right.
But
I know
yeah,
they showed you the funny ones, like basketball players just showing up on a basketball court.
Exactly.
Oh, neato.
But, yeah. But yeah, you know, then you kind of get that heartbreaking moment where you know she thinks she fell asleep and her mother was getting ready to come out of you know beating cancer and go home.
Right.
And then you find out well she did beat it and then she went back into remission and then she died.
Right.
All while. You know, all while Monica was gone. So yeah, you get all of that, which I thought was really cool. Because, again, we didn't know that she was blipped out until that happened.
Right.
And then you follow her story, right? Like, she's part of S.W.O.R.D., and you get that whole thing where, you know, her mother founded S.W.O.R.D. and
how cool is all of that, knowing that, and this is why I said earlier, like, we look at the MCU completely differently because through this entire MCU, S.W.O.R.D. has been there.
Right.
And we just haven't heard from them.
Right.
But now are we going to start to see in other movies remnants of S.W.O.R.D. showing up that were there
so,
that
yeah.
we didn't notice? You know what I mean?
Maybe. Well, I mean, still the biggest callback is like Nick Fury at the end of Far From Home.
Yes.
Because, you know, that was, well, we assume that was S.W.O.R.D., but we don't know for sure.
Right.
But we assume that was part of his mission or part of what he was doing was S.W.O.R.D. because S.W.O.R.D. is a space-based entity, you know.
Right.
Like, Monica made mention that she had spent a lot of time in space. And I liked the, like, kind of the little callbacks because, you know, the current director says, you know, there's many enemies in space, and she makes the comment, well, we have a lot of friends, too.
Yes.
You know, and that, you know, could be Carol, but she could also be talking about the Skrulls, you know. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then, yeah, she gets called in to help work on this case, and she meets Jimmy Woo. And, you know, that's when we kind of find out what's going on. So your theory, like what you and I talked about on the phone last week, was actually correct. And I was, is not what I thought was going on, where she has actually appropriated a real town. And so right. Everybody in this series up until this point are real people that are trapped in this town. They're in Westview, I guess, but the town is Eastview. And I thought that scene was great where they're standing in front of the sign that says Westview. And the cops are saying, that it doesn't exist. It's Eastview. And then, yeah, everything starts to unravel. All the little hints that you were getting through the first three episodes start to come into play. You know, you see the drone going in, and you know that that was the drone.
Right.
You know, that they found in episode two or what have you. Now, you find out that the guy you thought was a Hydra agent was actually not a Hydra agent. He was from S.W.O.R.D. coming up out of the sewer.
Right.
And so that was, again, not quite what you thought. But yeah, you know, then, yeah, and you get Darcy, you know, you get Darcy comes in and kind of figures out what was going on. Now, here's the thing that I find hard to swallow.
Uh-oh.
You're in...
Is it a big gorilla?
No. You're in, like, a pop-up base, right? Like, they move their base...
And that thing popped up fast.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but Sword moves right outside of Westview, Eastview, whatever, and sets up camp. And sets a perimeter around the town, and that's kind of what you saw at the end of the previous episode when Monica comes flying out. But all this stuff, and it's high tech. Like, this is taking place in, like, 2025 or whenever it takes place, 5 years after Endgame or what have you. And Darcy discovers the rays, like the you know, whatever it is, the radiation that's coming out of the town.
Yeah.
And figures out that she can pick it up on... This old
TV.
Goddamn TV that just happens to be in this base. Nobody has used a tube TV in at least 20 years in real life.
Right.
Why was that on the truck with
well,
the equipment
they
that they brought
one, right.
to set
no,
up this
town? They had to find her one, right.
So that I was like, okay, that's a little hard to swallow. But other than that, you know, everything else was great. Like she tunes into the waves, sees this TV show, and then they try to start figuring out the, you know, what's going on. You find out that the voices you heard earlier were Jimmy Woo trying to get through the Wanda.
Isn't that cool? That was so cool.
Which was really cool. So yeah, all the little Easter eggs start to come into play. But the biggest thing, really, the revelation, or at least my interpretation of this, and this could still be a little wrong, is that this is all her doing. Like, we weren't sure if, you know, what was going on. We thought she might be, you know, under duress or unconscious or whatever. But she purposely went in and appropriated this town. And at least from my perspective, she is perfectly aware of reality. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing and she knows what's going on. Like, she, in her real mind, she knows that Vision is dead. She knows about Ultron. She knows about all these things, and she is choosing to live in this reality to shield herself from the truth. And really, everybody else be damned. Like, everybody else is caught in her wake.
I don't think so.
No, I do. What other explanation is there? You know.
Well, there could be anything, but
no,
here's
she knows what she's doing.
Okay,
because that comes through at the end of this, where you find out that she's even manipulating their broadcast so they can't see what actually happened with Monica, you know? Like, they are trying to see how Monica comes out and the thing keeps blipping. Like, she is consciously manipulating that feed in real time while they're watching it. And she knows what's going on. Like, she, I think she is aware.
Okay, but
again, I'm not sure. This is
I know, but here's the thing. We're not sure she's the one manipulating it.
Oh, this is my feeling. This is what I believe, but
I know, I know. But what I'm saying is like the reason I have a little issue with that is because where does that story go? If she's just a grieving widow that took over a town, that's not a story.
Well, it is. There's just gonna end up going like, well, sure there is, because Sword isn't going to allow her delusion to continue. Like, they're not going to allow her to just keep playing fast and loose with everybody else's life. They're going to go in and try to. They got to go in and try to get her out, or try to get her.
I think she's being manipulated by what's her name? Agnes. We talked about it. Agnes. I think she's being manipulated by people like that into doing whatever she's doing. Maybe because to me, it's too simple of a story for the MCU and for this to change the entire MCU to have it just being a grieving widow that is like, you know, for all intents and purposes, barricaded herself in a town. Because
the thing is,
the things that she could do this here, they'd just be like, let her be. Why would you poke the bee's nest if that's the case? You would just let her be. But
you wouldn't let her be though, because she's
don't know.
She's trapped the entire town in there.
Right, so how disappointed will we be at the end if it's just like, oh, I'm sorry, I was just really upset.
Well, the thing is when we went into this show, when we went into this show before it even started, our thoughts of what were going to happen was that she snapped due to the loss and created this reality that she was living in her mind. This isn't that much different than that. It's just that it's not in her mind. It's actually taking place with real people.
Right.
So it can still be that she has snapped and gone crazy and is doing all of this, except she's just doing it in real time with real people instead of in her mind.
Right.
Everything else could still play out the same. Like, she could still, you know, go nuts and, you know, all that stuff could still happen. It just has higher consequence because real people are involved. Whereas before we thought it was just fiction. So I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be disappointed. Like, maybe you would. I don't know. Like, that is still very interesting to me, this story. And I'm not disappointed at all if that's the case.
Well, there has to be bigger ramifications than her just taking over a town. There has to be something that one is going to get, they're going to prevent and save people from something in this series. And then, because MCU, if nothing else, their stories are self-contained, but also have ramifications to the rest of the MCU. Right. So each of their movies are their own, and stories are each have a story, have an arc. It's not, they don't wrap this will wrap up.
Well, right, but if they have to go in, but if they go in and have to basically confront her to stop her from doing what she's doing, then it does. She becomes the bad, right? Like, she becomes the big bad of what's going, and that would have lasting ramifications.
Oh, yeah.
Going forward. So, because it just depends on how willing she is to, how tightly she wants to hold on, you know, and not give up her happiness or her fantasy. You know what I mean?
Right.
How willing she is to fight for it, I guess, is going to be the thing.
The funny thing is we're four stories in. That's it. We only have four stories and we're trying to speculate. And have you seen the rumors of what's to come of the characters that are coming in, you know, Quicksilver being one of them.
Right.
And not only that, it's not the Quicksilver from the MCU.
No, it's probably she pulls him from the multiverse, and she pulls in Evan Peters, right?
Yes.
So again, the rumor is that she pulls in Evan Peters from.
I think that's all. That's not even a rumor. I think he is in the. I thought that was confirmed.
Oh, I don't know.
That he was in it. And, or maybe that's just a very strong rumor, but supposedly that's coming either this week or next week. And I saw one on DR Movie News, follow on my other, on home theater, and they were speculating that because there's a lot of speculation that we're going to get a Luke Skywalker event in this series where right. they bring in somebody huge. Well, and can you guess
Chris
who
Evans,
they...
right? Yeah.
Huh? No.
Could be Chris Evans because we...
Nope.
Well, but it could be, right? Because we've talked about him coming back.
But who they speculated, who DR Movie News speculated was Ian McKellen.
Oh. Well, that would make sense.
Magneto. Exactly. But that would be huge.
Right.
And that's just a speculation by one person. But I thought it was great. And then they followed it up with two tweets as to why. And they listed like all the, and I'm like, oh my God, this totally makes sense. But if it happens or not, who knows? But
the thing is, are they going to retcon that into the MCU? Because that's a little bit more problematic, you know, because we have her parents already. Like she knows who her parents were, right? In the MCU, she knows her parents. So like, do they make Magneto, like how do they retcon that?
She's already pulling in the wrong brother.
Well, right, but...
So why couldn't she pull in the correct father for that brother?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is not a stretch at all if we already know she has the wrong brother, but that's who she's pulling in. And it's there's so much... like. And what does this mean? Where is she pulling them from? And once she pulls them in, can they... like, now they exist here? So right. How is this all going to work? And what does it... like? We feel like we got a lot of information, especially in episode four, but I feel like we don't have hardly anything yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, we got a long way to go still. So, again, everything we think right now could be completely opposite after next week, you know?
Right.
But I don't know that the impression I have is that she knows what's going on, you know.
She knows because, exactly like I said, what's going on?
I think so, because again, she saw the guy come in through the manhole cover and said no and blinked him back out. That implies that she knows who that person was. You know, when she heard Ultron, she wasn't surprised by that. You know what I mean? It felt like it wasn't news to her.
Right.
You know, and again, the same thing with the end of the episode where, like, Darcy and them couldn't see what happened with the end of the show. And it just feels like she is consciously manipulating all of that.
Right.
And that would imply that she knows, like, why not let it run if it's a surprise to you, too? Like, if she doesn't know who that guy is... why do you just blink him out? Why don't you just walk up to him and find out who he is? You know what I mean? Wouldn't you be curious? So
let me ask you this. If we know this isn't in our mind, we know this is in a town. This is the one I've been wanting to ask you. Who's Vision? Where did he come from? Because Vision is getting, even into episode four here, Vision has questions of his own.
Right.
He's getting unsure of things.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is he Vision? Maybe it's Vision. I don't really know.
Right.
You know, because again, we don't know. We assumed he died. But then again, also, then you get that whole, you know, when we're seeing the replay of what happened, you know, when Monica got thrown out or whatever, you get the dead Vision come, you know what I mean? He comes in as dead
right.
Vision.
Right, she pictured him that way.
Right. And so... like, you don't know. That's the biggest question, is what's going on with him. Is he really there, or is he part of what she made up? You know? But if he's part of what she made up, then how does he have independent thought? You know
what
I mean?
I'm saying.
Don't really know.
That's what I'm saying. What I said last week when you and I talked, that Dr. Joe and I talked, and what we noticed is like every time you think something, there's something else that maybe you a small thing that you forgot that contradicts it.
Right.
And it's just like it's like trying to put a puzzle together, but the pieces keep changing.
Right.
It's like it's crazy. Let's see. What else do we got? What else do we got from it? Anything else?
No, I mean, nothing that I can think of, really. No, I mean, it's only a half-hour episode, so...
I know, but it's so much. It's so. I was honestly blown away by Wu showing
up. Yeah, he's
up.
Great. Well, he's always great, though.
Yeah, but I was surprised that... Because he wasn't an FBI agent in anything up until this one. In Ant-Man, he was... Wasn't he his, like, parole officer or something? Or
I thought
he was
FBI. I thought he was FBI. Maybe but, I mean, but I knew he was coming, so it wasn't a huge surprise. When
oh, you
I saw
did?
Him. Because yeah, I knew, I knew him and Darcy both were in this show.
I didn't know that.
I just wasn't sure when they were coming, but
right,
it wasn't a surprise to me to see him because, like I said, I knew they were both going to be there.
Now he was only in Ant-Man, right? Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes, just the two Ant-Man movies.
Yeah, he just showed up as a cop. I thought he was just a cop that kept checking on him to make sure he was in under house arrest. That's the last I remember.
I thought he was FBI, but
I'll have
he
to
wasn't.
Go back
he
and
definitely
look, yeah.
wasn't the parole officer. He was either the cop or an FBI.
But
agent,
whatever, but. Like I was thinking, like if he was just a cop, then he was just like undercover for, you know,
yeah,
FBI or actually for S.W.O.R.D.
But the same thing. Like we only had Darcy in two Thor movies.
Oh, like, I know.
Yeah, so, I mean, neither one of them really showed up much anywhere else. I thought she was great, too.
Yeah, she was. She was really good. And, yeah. I mean, that's what's fun is they're bringing people in from different movies and really linking all of this up. And with all these other characters that we're getting rumors of, really going to... This and that's the thing. Like we said earlier, they're linking everything together so that when they do put out a blockbuster movie, you're gonna want to go. You're gonna have to see it to keep up with these shows.
Oh, for sure. So like that, I said, you're gonna have to go see Doctor Strange. Well, even before that, really, I think you're gonna have to go see Spider-Man.
Right,
because you know this really will tie in directly to that too. I think.
But that's what I mean. Like, so say Spider-Man comes out in December. It won't come out on Disney Plus until probably like April, but they'll have a show that'll probably drop in January or something that will have ramifications from Spider-Man. So like if you didn't see Spider-Man in December, you're going to be a little bit lost when you watch that show. So it's going to behoove you to get to the theaters to see this, you know, whatever it is. So cool. I love what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me too.
Love it. All right. That good?
I think so.
Another successful show, John.
Yeah.
Look at us go.
We just keep knocking them out.
Keep knocking them out. All right.
You set them
That'll
up.
That'll do it.
We knock them down.
There you go. Till next week.
Yeah. Hey, you. What do you want? Stop licking me.
I hope that's the dog.
Well, I'll never tell.